Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Port Charles says goodbye to Sunny, the tests are back on B&B, Laura bites it on Days, and Bill Spencer arrives in Genoa City on Y&R. Stay tuned. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, Lucas Lorenzo.
I'm not going to do what I did last week and call Mike Michael Baldwin. So, Mike, do you know?
Ooh, you called him Michael Baldwin?
Yeah.
Well, it came right after me introducing Josh, so I just sort of like combine the two, and why I pointed out that should there ever be a wedding, we'll see how the hyphen it goes.
Makes you think they got to be a hyphenate. Maybe they're modern people.
We are modern people.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so modern that Mike answers for Josh all the time.
Okay, I'm not going into that dynamic of their relationship. On that note, let's talk a little bit about Days. Josh, Laura bit it.
Yeah, you she like did. Saying that, huh? She went to the upper room. Did she go to the upper room, or did she go under? Or she go under the stairs? Who would?
I think it's a good question. All of the scenes around Laura and Gwen, Jack, Jennifer, Abigail, they're all good. It's all compelling. Laura went to the upper room supposedly, and we got good graveyard scenes. Katie McClain stuck her foot in it, by the way. I know she went overboard a little bit, but there was a little bit of desperation that I liked there. That
I didn't think she went overboard. I like Katie McClain. I'm kind of sad that she's going. I'm like, pull one out for the homie. She did
know,
the damn thing.
I'll miss her. I like her, but I think all of it works. I think this moves us towards Gabby and Abigail pulling in Nicole and Sammy, kind of let's get together and fight this one demon and then we can hate each other again. I like that. But let me just throw this out there really fast. We did not see Gwen push Laura to the floor or Laura trip and fall and hit her head. There was a scene where they were arguing, and then the next scene, Laura is on the floor. Jack and Gwen checked her pulse. Neither of which are doctors. And then some random medic came in, and then we never saw Laura again. This is Salem.
No. I don't want her to pop up again.
I'm
no.
just saying, this
oh,
is
God.
Salem.
No,
and
no,
Rolf
no, no.
is there in the prison, and
no, let
I'm
die.
Just putting it out there, and Jennifer is suddenly just leaving and going to Boston.
No.
Put it out there.
No.
What did you think of it?
Put it back in there. I don't want Laura popping up. I did have some feelings, some type of way at first. I'm like, damn, y'all just brought her back to kill her off. But then I sat and I thought, I said, bitch, you don't care about Laura. I'm like, that's not the Laura Spencer that you care about. I'm like, I don't care. Because ironic, her real name is, like, her maiden name is Spencer. I'm like, I don't care about her. Because I was just like, damn, Ron, you just dusted her off to kill her off. And I'm like, I did not care about Laura. I thought Laura was just whiny back when I watched, when she was like being held hostage and they put some magic beam on her head or something. And I have to tell Marlena the truth. When Marlena was being held in that secret room and shit. And I don't care. I was like, you know what? You don't care about her because she got on your nerves during that period. I don't know. God, please. I do not want Ron to bring her back because I'm like, Lord Jesus. No. Like, ugh. I did like the ambiguity of it. Like, did Gwen really ice her, or was it an accident? Like, you know, tune in at 11 or so. You know, like, we're gonna still uncover layers and see how that's gonna be played out. Katie McClain, girl, you did your damn thing. She pitched it really well.
Yeah, she did.
Man, I hope this is like, what they've been doing, you know, because I've always said that Days is kind of telenovela style, like they'll play a certain group of people heavy for months and then they stop them and then they rotate the cast because, you know, Ken ain't got a pot to piss in over there. So I hope that's the situation with Katie, because I'm like, my God, she was good for what she did. It's going to be interesting to see if Gwen really did something or she did not.
So we don't know if Laura's going to heaven. No. But it looks like Charlie might be going to hell. Mike, what did you think of the developments with the Charlie storyline?
Called it.
No, it's interesting because he is pretty much getting away with it and rubbing it in everybody's face. So if this is how they have to send him off, then I'm okay with it. I just feel like it's too bad that they, you know, had to. Well, I actually, it's not that I like Charlie. I like the guy that plays him, Mike Manning. So I kind of feel like he took this big turn in this story, but this really is a good way for it to end because we haven't had a good murder mystery in Salem for a while. And I do feel like if people think that he's getting away with something, then people in Salem know how to take care of business. So
everybody up in Salem, even the promo for next week, there's a good old fashioned soap murder promo.
Soap flash all of it. Yeah, the eyebrows do annoy me a little bit. You know, when your eyebrows are a little, I get antsy. He did his thing.
They could put him on Young and the Restless right now as Finn if they don't like Zach Tinker.
Yeah, you know, I really wish they would bring Zach Tinker back.
I know, me too.
You know, but knowing YNR, they're so ridiculous. They'll probably bring back that little thirst trapping boy.
Speaking of Finns, though, he might make a more dynamic Finn on The Bold and the Beautiful, too.
Think about Steffi messing with that little boy.
No, I don't know. I'm like, this guy is, I like the guy playing.
No, he's.
Then why'd you say it?
Are they the same age?
I don't know.
I was just saying he's been a good actor in the role. Yeah. I think that from a writing perspective, they made him innocent to mustache twirling too fast. There was not enough of a transition, but I think that the actor's done a good job. Josh, Sierra, she just can't get out of that glass cage, and Orpheus is now involved, and I know how much you love yourself some Orpheus, even though he is one of those that does nothing for me as a soap villain. What did you think of the developments this week?
I know, and he doesn't do anything for you because you weren't watching when he originally came on and blew up that house and took Marlena. But,
school him, darling, school him.
That's why every time I think, Orpheus. Yeah, so it's not a huge surprise that Orpheus is involved in all of this. It was a big surprise to see Evan come in and blow Rhodes away. I was like, what is that about? But, you know, anytime Orpheus is a part of anything, I'm okay. My issue, I had a Luke issue this week where I was like, at that jail.
Right.
Security at that prison.
I am going to say this. Like, that jail has the most lax security ever. The fact that you have Kristen, who can come and go as she pleases without a police chase, the fact that, like, Vivian is there and she's just in the general room with where you make phone calls when she just arrives at the prison. Then you have, like, Orpheus and everybody meeting, and Gwen can meet Rolf at any time she wants, and Brady can. I mean, that place is like one of those doors that goes in circles whose name I can't remember at the moment. That is literally
a revolving door?
Yes. The prison is a revolving.
It's like a shopping mall.
Yeah, like, there is no security in this prison. I feel like the prison setting is nothing more than a plot point because they don't actually try and tell prison related stories to it. And they don't try and bring any form. Like, there's no difference between the prison and the Horton Square on Days of Our Lives in terms of what they do. They don't even try to
now,
make
we should
it feel
give
like
them-
a prison.
We should give them props for actually punishing people who do bad things.
Is it really a punishment when you can pretty much order a latte and have unlimited phone privileges?
Except on other shows where there are just murderers walking around and nobody ever gets punished for anything. And at least they're trying to tell it. Now, the security is a whole issue, but at least they're trying to say that when you do bad things, you must go to Statesville. I at least like that, as opposed to Jason just shoot Brando and it's just done and whatever. It's all good.
I mean, oh, shut up. I don't care. You know, this is Salem, for Christ's sake. Salem, USA, all these people pop up. I'm alive. I'm dead. I'm not in jail. I don't even care. I'm like, this is Salem. If y'all could suspend your disbelief of people walking and roaming the streets that was supposed to be dead, who cares? I don't care. So that doesn't bother me at all. It did make me laugh that, you know, Kristen and Vivian go back.
Oh, that was good.
But she let Vivian know, you mess with Lonnie and I'll beat your ass. I'm like, what y'all do in that convent? Eli, you got competition?
A little
Brady,
spoiler.
Brady, do you have competition? I'm like,
A little spoiler alert.
Lord, did they do something in the convent for real?
Well, no.
Oh, you know something happened in
a little
convent.
Spoiler alert. The other though, Kristen and Vivian are gonna make a deal with each other, and they're gonna protect their mutual interests, as you would expect, but they're gonna come to a thief's agreement, if you will. I like it. I actually like it. The more that Linda Dano has been on, the more I'm enjoying her performance. I loved her going against Kate and jumping up when Kate went after when Kate blocked her lips on Jake. I thought that was good. I thought her scowling at Kate.
So how do you think she's doing as Vivian, like pitch hitting as Vivian?
It's not Vivian, but it is Linda Dano, but it's a better version of Vivian than prior.
No, name names. So leave it on the playground.
Considering you guys are the ones who called me out for naming names, you better actually name names, Josh.
Name names, or leave it on the playground. Hit it.
It is Little Debbie was not a quality Vivian.
No, 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 no.
It's
not
a better
you.
Version.
Not you. Yeah,
it's a
you
better
it,
version
Josh.
Of Vivian than Robin Strasser, because it's not a caricature. Linda Dano's actually playing how Vivian, she's being written how Vivian would be written.
Vivian Gallant, baby. That's
yeah.
it's very Vivian Gallant. I mean, it is not the caricature that Robin Strasser had as Vivian, but it's not Vivian. It's like, it's maybe 50-60% of Vivian, and Linda Dano's doing a good job, but this doesn't feel like Vivian.
No, of course not.
Mike,
of course not.
I know how much you love Abby. You like her in all her forms. What do you think of the possible team up between Gabby and Abby?
Well, I love that because we were talking about that when we were watching it, that Abigail is so mad. But here's what I liked about their interaction is that Gabby, I actually thought about Jillian when I was watching it.
Why the fuck you think about me?
Because Gabby told her that Chad gave her a half-ass apology and stood there and said, yours was better, but it's still not good enough. For all the times that we sat here and talked about how Abigail barely apologized for all
and
I thought that was kind of funny. That's what made me think of it. Mm-hmm. But no, I like it. I think it's important that enemies can put aside for other enemies. We watched Kate and Sammy do it. We've watched Kate and Gabby did it. So I think it's good. I think it's good the way Abigail brought up all the things that Gwen did to her without even knowing who she was or how she fit into the picture.
The devil, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Abigail would know because she did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, you know, I'm all for that. I think that's a great little twist, and it's soapy, you know, and they can hate each other in 6 months, but, you know, they got business to take care of right now.
Jillian, someone who is doing a lot of apologizing this last week was Liam on The Bold and the Beautiful. The tests are back.
Really think he is friggin' Anita Baker with that girl. I apologize. I'm like, Hope, when Hope went off on that boy, I was so happy because it annoys me. And I guess Bradley Bell is getting the memo from people through and through. And I'm like, people, please keep that energy going. I'm sorry, Hope. You just have to, you know, and Hope, I'm like, Hope, you just letting this boy run all over you. And when she just snapped on him and was just like, You just thought so lowly of me that you decided to up and screw Steffi. I'm paraphrasing Avi. I wish they would have had that dialogue. That would have been fire. You know, I love that Hope just went in on him. But then when this boy tried to gaslight Hope, because that's what it was, when he starts talking about how they've, you know, how much they've overcome, you know, we had to face, you know, are we, when he tried to justify it, because I feel as though Liam was trying to low-key justify Hope taking him back and then sleeping together, you know, this is what we do, Hope. We overcome so much obstacles. We had to deal with my dad, Steffi, Thomas. I'm like, are you, you're not going to take any? I said, this boy ain't really taking no accountability. He's really not taking any accountability. That's the part that cracks me up with him. And I wish Hope would have called him out on it, because Liam is all about people taking accountability. And you refuse to take accountability for your actions. All you do is say, I messed up. I thought everybody has said the same thing when Finn told him, bitch, you could have gone in there and say, hey, what you doing? But instead, Liam acted like a scorned woman and grabbed his pearls and ran with his pocketbook over to Steffi's house. I'm like, it just annoyed me, but I did like Hope reading him the riot act and just went in on him and was like, you thought so low of me. You didn't have any faith in me that the moment you had an opportunity, you decided to run with it with Steffi. And I enjoyed that. I just want to see more of that. What drove me crazy, I'm sorry, I don't know no man alive who would. Finn, stop the bullshit. I don't know any man alive that would be like, it's okay. Are you crazy? Like, of course you have some men who will down the line raise this kid and be like, this is our kid. Fuck Liam. But for him to stand there, you got the wind knocked out of your sails. And he's just like, it's okay, Steffi. It's okay. No, I wanted him to give Steffi that energy too. And for him to be like, you, I did nothing. What in our relationship made you doubt me? I get Liam. Liam's stupid. And he used that as an excuse because Thomas was chasing after his wife. So I get it, but I don't. But what's your excuse? You just allowed Liam to bamboozle you. It didn't take much long for him to do that. You still have that stupid picture up there. And I'm so tired of that girl mentioning that that picture is there for Kelly. They do make wallet size pictures. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, they do make a 5x7 that she could put in her room. That's bullshit. Like, I wanted Finn to give Steffi that energy too. Him just letting Steffi off with a little, it's all right, Steffi. Are you? I'm not feeling that. No, I need for more heat to come in there. That was, it's complete bullshit. Yep. It's foolishness.
Josh, what did you think of the results and the fallout?
You know, it's certainly more drama, I suppose. But okay. So, There is a way for Liam to go at Hope if he wants to, but they don't play history too well.
Well, how? Like,
okay, so when Liam saw what he thought was Thomas and Hope making out and he left, immediately I thought, so Hope has done this before. Hope was standing at the Eiffel Tower waiting on Liam, and he was 2 minutes late. And in that 2 minutes, she went away with Wyatt, jumped on a boat, and got married. So she's done this before. It doesn't make what he did okay.
He's done that before. But there's history there. Well, hail up. You can't, he can't come at her like that because he did that to her with Steffi.
I agree. They've done it both ways.
Liam can't. And Liam has no room, no sir, no ma'am.
Liam is so two-faced in everything. There's no way he ever has a foot to stand on. Ever.
She only gave the energy that he gave. So there's no way Liam could fix his face and say that because Hope can continuously bring up his misdeeds.
No, I agree with you. I was just saying that if they were going to do that, which they did this week, they just didn't do it the right way. I agree with you. Liam has no leg to stand on. But if they wanted to do that, to me, they should have had him call on that bit of history.
The other thing about that is, though, Josh, I mean, even though he doesn't have a leg to stand on, sometimes characters don't have to actually be right to be delusional. So it's entirely possible that his retort could be what you're suggesting, and it would just be from his delusional standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly where I'm going, because they've got him rambling about all kinds of stuff. It just, the only part of it that works for me is Annika Noel. She did some damn good work this week.
She did.
I also want to back up, not that she needs it, but I'm going to co-sign with Jillian here, because of Finn. It's like, Finn, would you like mustard on your sandwich? No. Finn, I'm having Liam's baby. Okay. There's just no reaction. There's nothing.
I don't understand why Bold won't do that, because I'm like, you would need to find 5 men. You would need to show me them, and I'd need to see receipts. I need documented proof. The real life men, they find out their woman slept with their ex and their relationship was fine. There were no cracks in it. She gets pregnant by said ex, and they're just like, I'm with it. Like, that's bullshit. The only heat is that when he brings it to Liam, Steffi needs to get the same energy. And don't give me this, she's pregnant, you have to be, no, she, I'm not asking for Finn to fucking smack the shit out of her. I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating for that. I'm advocating for him, you know, I wanted this to be your baby. It could have been, but you were too busy jumping Liam's bones. You used an opportunity to jump Liam's bones. Deep down, you wanted this baby to be his. I want him, like, Steffi is getting off too light with this, and I don't like it.
I agree. And I would love to see a scene where, I'm making this up, but down at the beach bar, Finn and Hope randomly go down there to drink their sorrows away, and they end up talking about this stuff. To me, that's something that's missing, is Finn and Hope are in a similar position here. Not similar, I mean, Hope's in a much worse position. But that would complete this to me, as if they were talking to each other, and
they have something to commiserate over.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that. No. I don't know anything, because it's clear that they're trying to stop these girls from going after each other's men, because then if they were to do that, then that's just the threadway for Hope and him messing around. So,
Mike, I'm going to use you to transition to The Young and the Restless. Bill Spencer and Heather, or not Heather, Bill Spencer and Katie on The Bold and the Beautiful are having some issues. Meanwhile, he's in Genoa City, too.
Yeah, that was great. It was kind of fun to see him back there again, and I like that he was needling Jack and Lauren. And I have to say that when I was watching this,
sisters intimately, I said, "I love it. I died." Yes.
I just liked. God, it just makes you realize how much you miss the Bradsicle in Genoa City. But
yes,
I kind of feel like when I watched it, and him and Sally came together and promise to stay out of each other's way. I think what I liked, or what I realized, is that CBS is the only network that has two soaps, and they are pretty much working across the street from each other. And I think this is something they should capitalize on. I think they should do this more often, because I kind of think that it pops a little life to cross characters with each other. I just kind of enjoyed it.
I agree with you if it's The Bold and the Beautiful to The Young and the Restless, but I feel like I'm always disappointed when it goes from The Young and the Restless to The Bold and the Beautiful, because the show is shorter. So many of the storylines are the same thing over and over. You sort of have to shoehorn The Young and the Restless characters into something where it feels more natural when it goes The Bold and the Beautiful to The Young and the Restless. But I wouldn't mind seeing some of those people pop up more often, especially considering the fact that we have Jabot and we have Newman, and both of those have cosmetics and fashion industry ties, and it could be done. I just would prefer if some of these characters come from The Bold and the Beautiful to The Young and the Restless.
Yeah, I agree. I think
Eileen Davidson, when she had that run on The Bold and the Beautiful, and she was actually on the show, still felt like an afterthought. If the only characters that I sort of don't mind going from The Young and the Restless to The Bold and the Beautiful is if Lauren shows up and if Sheila shows up. Other than that, I would prefer it to be The Bold and the Beautiful to The Young and the Restless.
Still did not mention Sheila is running around in Los Angeles selling some avocados, I guess. Like, they still won't mention that. Like, I don't understand it.
I agree with your thing with B&B because I feel like sometimes that there's only a handful of characters and they all interact with only each other. So it would be kind of hard to insert other people into that.
So but what you did know, you guys, so then I'm going to go around the circle and get everybody's take on Bill and Sally. Bill is in Genoa City. We got all the little nods, the Easter eggs that we loved, but Bill is causing some problems for Sally. Josh, what did you think?
If there wasn't the issue of the Brad Sickle and all that, I would be like, I want Bill to cross over to Young and the Restless all the time. I thought he spiced up that show in a way that I hadn't been spiced in. It's like white people cooking. It's like no spices whatsoever. It was spicy. I felt through the screen Sally's blood run cold when she saw Bill. And also, just as a side note, Bill and Lauren, that chemistry in that room, woo! It was. I know.
Tracy still got it. Don
did
and
you?
Tracy
did you need a wet nap after?
I did. I had to clean up my seat, but it was good.
Oh, no.
It was good. Bill and Lauren could be awesome.
Don and Tracy still have.
Yes.
You know, they still have that. That energy, that pizzazz. I kind of wish they would have had him interact with Beth Maitland, especially when he said in his interview with TV Insider, they were talking to him about his run and everything, and Don Diamond said that Tracy was the love of Brad's life. I said, get the hell out of here! I was like, oh! Fuck you, Maria. Like, that just bothered me. I'm like, see, Tracy used to get the boys in the yard. Goddard. Anyway,
I was
going to
say, fuck
there.
You, Kane.
Yeah. Child, Tracy had the OG Kane before there was a Kane.
Yep.
And his name was Brad. And he still held up. Like, get out of here. And Steve was a fine. That Tracy dipped out on Brad with Steve, the publishing man. I'm like, get out of here. And then there's Danny Romolotti, but I tend to gloss over him because I'm like, Tracy got more bass in her voice, but whatever. But like, Tracy used to get all the boys in the yard, honey. Yes, she did. Oh, whatever. But it was sweet to see him over there and those little nuds. I'm like, it would have been really cool if you saw him interact with Victor.
And the way that he talked down to Kyle, oh, hey, Kyle, yeah, I heard that you're the new co-CEO. I was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it because I'm like, I'm sorry, Kyle, it's cool to see that you have young blood in the CEO's chair, but Kyle, to me, is acting like dress up. It's like dress up day for him.
Totally.
It feels a little bit like Michael trying to be the CEO of ELQ on General Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
You're dressing up in your dad. Like you went, it's go to your dad's day at work. It's go to your dad's office day work or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, you just don't know. That really should have been Billy sitting in that chair, him and Jack, like, and Kyle scheming, but whatever. But I mean, I just don't feel it.
Mike, Ray is dishing out ultimatums to Sharon. How do you think that's evolving?
Well, it's kind of funny because this is the most life I've seen in Ray, and I loved watching Jordy go after put some fire into Ray when he was going after Sharon, because as much as I love Sharon, Ray was absolutely right on every count. So I did enjoy that. And I enjoyed all this stuff with Faith too. I have a couple of issues with the Faith storyline, but for the most part, those are the things that I'm actually enjoying
I liked Ray giving Sharon the business. It wouldn't shock me if we see more Ray and Lola, because, you know, side note, Sasha Kylie scored that damn good ass job.
Yeah, she got it
for her. Congratulations on that too.
Yes, kudos to her. And you know, I saw Angelica do her little, you know, lap around. I said, go ahead, girl, you should do that lap around. She should.
She absolutely should, because when she came on there, do you remember how refreshing Lola was when she first arrived,
yeah,
and
oh,
how wonderful it all felt to have her on the show? And then they just wasted her for the last three years.
They still waste her, and the audacity behind that damn Twitter account by YNR. But she's our Supergirl. I'm like, if you don't get your ass on trying to piggyback off of her coattails now, like, you're foul. And it's the countdown. Everybody has said it online. It's the countdown for this girl, because she is going to blow up after.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put some money on it. I could put some money on it. You know, I don't play with my coins like that, honey. I can put some money on that. That girl, it's not for long. She's going to be gone from that show. And I wouldn't blame her. Like, ugh.
They did that with like three or four other people that were young, like Zach Tinker, Lauren Lott, Noemi Gonzalez, now Sasha Calle. I mean, all of those folks.
Josh said he didn't
all
know
left
what to do with
and
her.
Gone on to better things, because yep. they couldn't find anything to do with them.
No, at least well, you know what well, with Sasha we don't know, because but Josh just was bold as fuck to say to that girl to her face, "I just don't know what to do with you. How? Why are you still getting paid then? Like, that's the audacity out of you." That's
and
the
thank God. He
what I thought was what I thought was extremely interesting about it is because the. And what I loved about the casting news was the fact that, like, for me, when I watched Smallville, Laura Vandervoort was Supergirl there, and she's always my Supergirl. And then you have Melissa Benoit, or however it's pronounced.
Benoit, I don't know.
On the current Supergirl. And both of those are, like, white, blondish, brunette, brunette-ish hair-colored women. So then you have this version, and I am really looking forward to seeing Sasha play Supergirl. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But that's maybe a Geek Confidential podcast.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little. Well, before we move to General Hospital, I want to touch base on a little bit of casting news. Elizabeth Lehner is going to be on the show. She is going to be playing Tara Locke, the woman Kyle had a torrid affair with and who possibly has his baby. So she will be premiering on March 1st. That should be interesting.
Yeah, it is. Like,
and it's also one of those things where after the news of Sasha Calle coming out, I'm like, I wonder if they did this because they knew that was coming. It would sort of seem logical.
I don't know because what do you mean? This news?
Well, like, so if you know that one of your actresses has signed with a major studio, but for a big film, and you know that you can't, like, say anything about it, the one thing that you can do is start casting another character in that same age group.
Well, I'm shooting down your theory. I don't mean to be a bitch, but I'm shooting it down because this woman is an older woman. She's not like, this is really apples and bananas here.
Well,
because
no, I'm not talking about exact ages. What I am saying is
you
Kyle.
Just said age group.
What
just,
I am I, saying is
I went by
we
what you
have
said.
We have Lola, Kyle, Summer. That storyline, if it's just Lyle and Cola, I cannot talk. If it's just Kyle and Summer, we already know how boring that is.
It's been like that for a minute. Lola has not been in anything that they've done. Right. If anything,
Sally
has replaced Lola in this situation.
That's a good point. I'll give you that.
Lola has nothing. This ain't even in her wheelhouse. Lola is pretty much Elena's
Gina?
Talk to.
She's Gina yeah. from the...
She's Gina Romolotti now, you know? Yep. Like, that's what they have her.
Okay,
this
enough.
Is nothing. This casting is nothing. If anything, this is to spark up Kyle and Summer. I'm like, what are you talking
they
about?
They need to do something
so,
with Kyle and Summer.
I feel as though YNR going to try to last-ditch effort. Watch. It's going to be like clockwork. Oh, we had a huge storyline
oh,
for
yeah.
Lola.
That's
but
definitely.
You know that's what's going to be.
You know that's coming.
Storyline. That's what they're going to say. Like, shit, this lady, to me, this lady was to prop up Kyle and Summer because it's still ridiculous. What, you know, Sally is not going after Kyle. She's just being a busybody bitch. And anybody with a brain would have Summer grab her, snatch up and say, if you don't stop playing with me and mine, like, she's not even throwing herself. Kyle's not even sniffing after her. Nothing.
Jillian.
This lady is to bring some heat to Kyle and Summer. So
Jillian, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be what you just suggested, where, like, we had a huge storyline planned for her, or it's going to be we couldn't come up with any more story for her.
It's either one or two. We had a huge storyline, but she's over at the Flash, or, you know, we just decided to let... No, they ain't gonna say that storyline thing because Josh caught some hell for that.
They're gonna give her a gift like they did Michelle.
They're gonna say some bullshit-ass thing like that. You know, we heard that she was auditioning. We decided to let her spread her wings. They're gonna act like they did her a favor again. That's how that show does.
What they could do, though, is that there's been sort of very subtle hints that there might be a baby in Miami that Lola... gave up. I mean, she went away and she's had some pained looks on her face when they're talking about pregnancy. That may have been a story they were going to run with, maybe, and they could still have that baby.
Or maybe the timing would be a little off for it because she wasn't there that long.
Abortion could work.
Yeah, I could see her saying that. You know, her bitchy sister-in-law could be like, she aborted your baby child. Like, whatever. What was her name again?
Mia.
Mia, yeah, but
I miss Mia.
They don't use her no way neither. So,
well, and if I'm not mistaken, didn't she the actress post something about how terribly she was treated by daytime fans?
Yeah,
I remember that correctly. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to get Mia back, as wonderful as a character that was. I mean, what
and I think she's on
themselves to that.
What she's on? Ain't she on a show on Netflix? Isn't she on the Selena
that's right.
show?
She that's is. Right. She's on. Yeah.
She ain't coming back.
Well, someone we maybe never thought would come back is returning to General Hospital. While we were gone, it was announced that Chad Brannan is returning to General Hospital. In the last week or so, I got an email from a longtime listener who was asking, whatever happened to Reagan? And the Chad Brannan news came out and I got a text from Reagan and she was like, damn it, I'm gonna have to watch General Hospital again.
I know you fucking lying. I was like, get out of here. And she's like, smiley face. I'm like, get out of here. You should have been watching, Heffa.
She was a big fan of Xander back in the day. And so it was just the way it all fell together. I was like, oh, okay, I can address the listener's concern on the podcast because that's where Reagan's been. She hasn't been watching soaps. But Chad Brannan is returning. He's going to be airing in March, and I cannot wait. He was charismatic when he was on the last time. There are so many possibilities depending on how they choose to do this.
Because you notice my little friend who needs to land this plane. You notice in the announcement. Now, you know, if you coming back to the role that you originated, like if it's Kimberly McCullough, they'd be like, she's coming back to play Robin. You notice they said Chad Brannan is coming back and they didn't say anything else. Right.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But technically Robin wasn't.
No. I'm just using that as an example. Right. Damn, Luke. I'm using that as an example. Like if she was killed off and she came back. What would she have come back as? We would all assume Robin. And that's what they would have written up. With him, they didn't write anything like that. They just said Chad Brannan is coming back. And they just said the roles that he played. They just say with the roles that he played. So I smell Chris and Dan and Chris pulling a fast one. I don't know nothing, but I just smell a fast one by them boys.
Wouldn't it be something if it was a Victor Todd situation?
Now, it is. There is I don't know if it's a spoiler, but there's a little blurb in Digest in the comings and goings.
What'd they say?
This is only a brief guest stint, quote, end quote.
That's a death. I don't trust them. They lying to. No, I don't know nothing.
Nah, it just says it's a brief. He'll be appearing and making a guest appearance in mid-March.
Cameron will be.
But we don't know what he's coming as, right? Because they didn't say as what either.
They did not.
Connect them dots, homie. Connect them dots. I'm just saying. I smell a fast one.
Let's just put it this way. We would be all ecstatic if he came back for a longer stint than a guest stint. Because didn't they also sort of make that the same? Not they as in Soap Opera Digest, but didn't General Hospital also make a sort of believe that Taggart was only going to be a short time, and then Taggart has been around off and on
Chloe
very long time. Right.
Same thing with Hatsu.
Like,
so
I am like, I'll trust I am not in any way, shape, or form digging at Soap Opera Digest. But I, from my perspective, no, I'm like, these guys are extremely creative. Chris and Dan and Chris are extremely creative. So if they can figure out a way to bring him back on the regular, I will be happy.
They're crafty. I like, or you know what? I can see them saying, oh, this is a short stint. I feel as though they've done this. Oh, it's a short stint, but they've prolonged, but as they see fan reactions, they're just like, oh, we'll keep writing. I feel as though that's what's happened with
or
these GH boys.
Or yeah. It could be something where it's a short stint to basically lay the groundwork for a longer stint.
Yeah. So
let's talk about some of the other things that happened on Days of Our Lives or Days of
General.
Our Lives.
What is wrong with you today?
I am out of it. I don't know what's going on. Let's talk about the funeral, Mike. Carly waxed poetic and
died.
That was a dry funeral. Only when Nina came and
ooh,
said it all.
Right.
That was a
like,
dry
by
funeral.
By general hospital standards, that was a pretty dry funeral. And
no, I'm talking about in general. He is Spanish. I'm like, that's a dry funeral. You know, I was hoping for someone to throw themselves on the ground. It was dry. Right.
Everybody else he may be Spanish, but everybody else that he interacts with is white. Were you
so
expecting?
I wanted.
Were you expecting Bobby to come in and show out over Sunny?
I wouldn't expect Bobby, but I wanted Carly to do something. I'm like, this was dry. His daughter ain't
there,
did
he
nothing.
Eat that casket.
His daughter ain't do nothing. I'm like, this dry as hell. You dry. I'm like,
well,
this
you know, he could have actually spiced it up a little bit if he'd been arrived. It would have been Spencer, Mike.
Oh yes.
What Stella. What did you
Spencer.
But
would
Spencer
say.
Would be a better
ooh,
connection
yes.
for the simple fact that
why
he's
would you
the
say
nephew.
Stella?
Yeah. Because
Stella
and
because
Sonny had that special relationship
oh,
about Mike.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's going to show out. No, no. Mike.
Spencer, I agree with Luke. Spencer would have tore it up. Damn you. Ugh. But it
Mike,
was
what did you think of Nina and Carly after the funeral? Because Nina knows all now, and she is on the warpath.
She told Jax, you ain't nothing but... What'd she say? In a tan. You ain't nothing but a liar with a tan or something.
Yes.
Mike?
I actually thought that was the best part of one of the, well, it's one of the highlights this week was Nina finally getting to be Nina. They're finally giving Cynthia Watros her strength. Yes. And yes. I'm going to live every second. See, here's the thing. People can hate Nina and they can hate Nell, but for me personally, any moment of pain that they cause the Corinthos family, I am on board. I also love that she called out all of them as Carly enablers.
Yes.
That was just, it was a great scene. And Nina hit every point on the head with a hammer.
Yes.
And Carly, I mean, Laura Wright hit back just as hard. So if these two women are going to go up against each other, I'm going to sit back and watch it with popcorn.
What's so interesting about that is Laura Wright is truly one of daytime's most underappreciated actresses because, like, no matter who she's with, what storyline she's in, she will bring it. But it's not necessarily, but what's weird about it is she doesn't necessarily get the storylines that say Maura West was that has these giant climax, like epic moments where Carly gets a lot of continuous moments. At least that's my perception. And so like, she just keeps bringing it in day and day and day and day. And she does so well. Now, Josh, we talked about...
And she does well because we can sit here and talk about her despite this horrible, awful character that she plays.
Right. Josh, we're talking about someone possibly being killed off on Days of Our Lives. What do you think the Peter's odds are?
Okay, so I want to hit Peter, but I just want to say one quick thing about Nina. On our year-end podcast, Cynthia Watros was my most in need of a storyline. When I tell you I shouted at my TV screen not once, not twice, but 11 different times during that thing, I loved it. Cynthia Watros, when she walked up on that open door and heard Carly and Jax talking about Nell, Cynthia Watros's face went from sad to to Annie Dutton in a minute. Those eyes lit up and her head turned, and I thought, there it is. There it is. We're about to get Cynthia Watros. And that
you are nothing but a liar in a tan. I said, what?
I thought when she went after them as Carly enablers, when she and then said to Diane, well, at least Diane's doing her job here. She's doing something. The rest of you are ba-. And she just went in and she got that look on her face and she said, I've heard stories about you, Carly. I've heard stories about you. You got a second chance. And it was just wonderfully good. I'm so looking forward to this. Peter. I feel like they're making us think Peter's going to die. Maybe he will, but
I don't think we'll get that.
It feels it doesn't. I don't trust that that's going to happen. But
I think Peter's going to die. I think Peter, he ain't going to the upper room, child. He going to the hot cellar. He going to the hot spring.
I guess the difference, if I was going to compare the two soaps, yes, Peter's been done a lot of stuff, but Peter's been doing a lot of shit for a long time, and. I don't feel like the same everybody hates Peter vibe in Port Charles that we have in Salem.
We do have that vibe. Sam don't really like him. Jason doesn't.
Right. There's a difference between don't really like him.
Hold on. Sam, Jason, his newfound sister, Franco, and Dante, Spinelli, Robert. Here's the thing with this, though. The difference between the two is, like, that dude, Charlie, has no remorse, and he has been cockily saying, yeah, I did it, and you can't, like, you know, it was done in London, so there's nothing you can do, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, whereas Peter's world is, like, low-key unraveling, because you have over here, Franco hears his voice on what he did to Drew. Then over here, you have Jason putting the dots together on what he did. Then you have Anna connecting the dots awful. Then you have Obrick saying, I'm coming for that ass. Then you have Britt off with the shit that he's done and Jason cluing her in on stuff. And then you have him confessing to Valentine. Yeah, I did all these things. The world, like, the walls are closing in on Peter. So a lot of, like, I don't think it'll be a whodunit, but he about to bite it. I don't know nothing, but I'm going to put money on it that he about to bite it.
I just don't feel the same intensity by the Port Charles characters as I do about the Days characters.
There's a nice complexity, though, I think, because Anna is partially responsible.
Right.
For all of this stuff. And that is a lovely bit of complexity because there's going to be a lot to untangle when everybody figures out, like when Finn figures out that Anna's been lying to him.
I thought Finn knew that Anna wasn't that boy's mother.
Well, he does, but then Anna and Valentin have some sort of conversation where they sort of figure out what they want to do and they get all their ducks in a row. And I mean, it's like he knows, but she's been hiding things and then revealing them and hiding things and then revealing them. And then everybody else in Port Charles, she's been lying to as well. And so
I think in Port Charles, she's been lying. It's just, Anna's hasn't been lying. It's like lack of omission.
Yeah. It's omission. You know it's lie by you omission.
Know? Yeah. It's lie by omission because she hasn't really said anything. I feel as though everybody's given Peter a pass because he is Anna's alleged son. Because you are, yes, if he was not Anna's so-called son, you know, Jason would have made him have a dirt nap ages ago. You know, Robert would have sliced his neck ages ago. The only one who's keeping his G is Obrecht. And Peter set her up so she couldn't do shit to him. So I feel as though it's not like everybody against Peter, like Charlie. It's like each difference, like in every turn, Peter's life is unraveling. It's kind of like a sinking, like you know those cartoons where a ship is taking on water and they patch it up over here, but then over on this side, water spouts up and it's kind of like that with Peter. Every time he patches something up, this spouts up and he can't keep it together. Yeah.
This is less about the people of Port Charles coming after Peter. As more so, it's about a desperate man and what is he going to do?
Yes, because he has his happiness right at the palm, at his fingertips. But like I said, the water keeps spouting at every turn, and he can't, it's like he can't seem to figure out how to fix it. When he thinks he has a, you know, a great fix to it, something else happens.
Mike. I hope he dies, though. I really.
Oh, well, I've wanted him to die for years now.
Well, I just don't care enough about the character to watch him be redeemed.
And Max's right. baby. I'm sorry.
That's the only thing about this storyline that it, like, if they were to kill him off, Max's reaction would be what I'm watching for. Mike, yeah. Final thought?
Okay, my final thought. I'm going to go back to Days just for a quick moment. Katie McClain's goodbye from Ron. Having Julie serve her up banana pancakes with
yes!
fucking hilarious.
I died.
That was the best Easter egg of the entire week.
I died when Julie was like, you want some pancakes? And she was like, no. I was like, okay, so we already know if Megan McTavish, you and Megan McTavish will never write together again. She's still out there, y'all, but she ain't writing. She raises some basset hounds, I guess. She raises some type of dogs now. But I'm
Jillian?
Like, Ron made it sure that they ain't gonna work together.
Final thought?
My final thought is that I want to see some more heat on the Bold and the Beautiful. You saw some with Zenday, Carter, and Zoe when Carter confronted the two, and, you know, Zenday tried to give himself a pass. When he was like, we're friends, but we're not that close. And when Carter was like, then bitch, why were you in my business? Like, I want to see more heat if you're going to confront somebody about betrayal. Steffi had no reason to sleep with Liam. She didn't think Finn was cheating on her. She's a recovering addict, for Christ's sakes. So you have a recovering addict drinking with someone. There was no rhyme or reason for her to drink with Liam and to sleep with Liam when she's in a budding, when she's in a healthy relationship with Finn, and she swears.
Well, technically in rehab, she shouldn't be involved with anybody for at least a year. So.
Yeah, but it is what it is. But yep. Like, I digress. But, you know, she's in a healthy relationship with Finn, like I'm saying, but she had no reason to cheat. And for the life of me, I don't understand why they won't let Steffi get her comeuppance. If this was Brooke Logan, Brooke would have gotten it with both barrels on both sides. They've already made it. We clearly see that Steffi is a brunette Brooke and Hope is a blonde Taylor. I don't understand why y'all not keeping that same energy. Pregnancy be damned. I'm not asking for Finn to scream and shout and poke up in her face and push her. I just need Finn to tell her ass off that this wasn't okay, because this is going to be repeated behavior with this girl. I feel it.
They need to start making Brooke act like Stephanie back in the day. Josh, final thought.
Mine is also Bold and the Beautiful, and it is also about Brooke Logan. I need her fire back. When I watched that scene with Brooke, Ridge, and Thomas in the office, and Brooke and Thomas are making nice and they're all smiling, and I'm like, that bitch helped keep your grandchild dead and away from your daughter. I don't care what comeuppance he's had or not. Brooke Logan felt so strongly about him that she pushed him off a cliff.
Brooke always had a petty meter, so I'm just like, this is kind of...
I'm just saying.
This
Brooke
should
petty
now
be...
Meter.
Brooke should now always had
a, yeah, Brooke has had a petty meter. Like, this is why I feel as though when I saw your poll about Miguel, about recasting Taylor, I'm like, they do need Taylor. Surprisingly, the Taylor Mafia wasn't hostile about it. I thought they did shade you some, but the Taylor Mafia was like, look, if you look, well, the head of the Taylor Mafia, Smitty, he threw a fucking palm tree. I was like, damn, boy. He was like, considering, you know, he shaded the shit out of the Ridge that's currently being played. Y'all have to look for that tweet, because I'm like, damn, Smitty. But he said that he agreed that they should cast somebody in the role. I'm like, this is the time that Taylor should be there, and you should reignite that feud, or they need to have a big mama there that, you know, sees Brooke and Steffi for who they are and tell them about their ass. Like, they're sorely lacking that. We don't need that from Quinn, because Quinn ain't a hoe, but Quinn is batshit crazy, and ain't no crazy bitch telling me what I did and didn't do.
Quinn ain't on screen either.
Yeah.
Hey, for me, it's personal. It's not personal. It's business.
My final thought is Sammy's back. On that note,
I gotta go. Bye.
On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Mike is at MPJ24. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Mike coming with the shade this week, ain't he?
Not the petty meter. I love it.
Brooke do have a petty meter.
It's true, she does.